Ms. Pum, are you ready? Okay, I would like to call this meeting of the University City Council to order at 6:30. Ms. Pum, would you please call the roll?
Mr. Price. Ms. Carr.
Present.
Mr. Kraft. Mr. Crow.
Here.
Mr. Glickard.
Here.
Mr. Sharp.
Here.
Mayor Welsh.
Here. Thank you very much. We now move on to the approval of the agenda. Does any member of council or the city manager have any changes or adjustments to the agenda? Mr. Walker.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to withdraw resolution number 2013-3.
Thank you very much. Any other changes? Hearing none, all those, is there a motion to approve the agenda as amended? Mr. Glickert moves, Mr. Sharp seconds. Any discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye. All those opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. We have no proclamations this evening. We now move to the approval of the minutes. Is there a motion to approve the minutes from the March 11, 2013 City Council study session? Ms. Carr, Mr. Sharp seconds. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye. All those opposed? The ayes have it. And Mr. Glickert does abstain, Ms. Pum. Is there a motion to approve the minutes from the City Council regular session on March 11, 2013? Mr. Sharp moves. Is there a second? Ms. Carr seconds. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye. All those opposed? And Mr. Glickert will abstain again. Thank you very much. Mr. Sharp, you have an appointment. Could you please turn on your microphone, Mr. Sharp?
I move to appoint Mr. Curtis Tunstall to the Traffic Commission.
We have a motion. Is there a second? Mr. Glickert seconds. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. Mr. Sharp, you have another appointment.
I move to appoint Mr. William Person to the Board of Appeals, replacing Mr. Corbett.
Thank you very much. Is there a second? Mr. Price seconds. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye. All those opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. Mr. Price, you have an appointment. Could you turn on your microphone, please, Mr. Price?
Move that Angeline Hayes be appointed to the Human Relations Commission.
Thank you very much. Is there a second? Mr. Sharp seconds. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye. All those opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Crow, you have an appointment.
Yes, Madam Mayor, I'd like to appoint Jeffrey Hales to the Traffic Commission, replacing Mr. Gingrich.
Thank you very much. Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Glickert seconds. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye. All those opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. We have one person to be sworn in tonight. Is Ms. Latrice Johnson in the audience? Ms. Latrice, I'm sorry, I misread that. Ms. Latrice Johnson was sworn into the library board in the city clerk's office. We now move to the first section of citizen participation. This is 15 minutes that we allow citizens to comment on non-agenda items. As of this point, I have no request to speak on a non-agenda item. So we will move on to the public hearing. I would now like to open the public hearing at 6:35, the public hearing on the proposed University City Bicycle and Pedestrian Master Plan. I would like to advise those in the audience who are interested in speaking on this plan to please, if you haven't already done so, fill out a speaker's request form that can be found on the shelf to the left of that doorway and bring it up and place it in the plastic thing on the railing here. So first person to call for the pedestrian and bike master plan is Mr. Morton Hyman. Can I say, please, when you get to the microphone, please turn it on. Please give us your name and address. Please turn off the mic when you leave, and please limit your comments to 5 minutes. Thank you very much. Proceed.
I am Morton Hyman. I live at 739 Harvard, and I am one of the trustees of University Heights Subdivision Number 1. From Yale to Harvard and north to Delmar, which contains a block of Princeton, which is proposed as a bike walk street, bicycle boulevard as such. Our residents are concerned about the following things: street management, closing the streets. We are a private subdivision, which means we pay full city taxes and additionally are privileged to pay extra to pave, maintain, and insure our own streets and trees. Princeton is currently closed to vehicle traffic at the east end near City Hall. This helps keep City Hall traffic from traveling and parking on Princeton. Some bikers and walkers currently use Princeton and exit on the sidewalk to skirt the chain across the street. We do cede our rights, for instance, open to close the streets to through traffic, which is part of the virtue of being a private subdivision. What are the legal ramifications of putting a public bike sidewalk street on a private street? How does this fit with a new roundabout, if at all? Create a bikeable barrier. A new barrier at the end of Princeton will be necessary to allow bike passage, yet restrict vehicle passage. Who designs, builds, and maintains it? These are questions we have for you. Maintenance. We have limited money to fix potholes, plow, and sweep up gumball. Will the city or Tranet be paying for these things? We also have a serious flooding problem with two MSD drains, which create what we call Lake Princeton, which means bikes can't go through. Bikers will have to swerve in the narrow, unflooded section of pavement. Liability. Who takes care of the liability if somebody falls on one of our streets? None of these have been answered. Traffic impact on residents. Our residents pay a considerable amount of assessment for living in this private subdivision. With that comes the rights and privileges of managing the traffic flow. Although we have tried to be good neighbors and keep an open neighborhood, we may find the introduction of many new walkers and bikers will make living on Princeton very difficult. We are concerned that this new path and its traffic will make present and future dwellers less interested in investing on our streets. We are concerned about property values and serenity on the street. We hate to be a wet blanket on this grand scheme with admirable goals, but as a private subdivision, we have problems of neighborhood peacefulness, jurisdiction, and finance. If this occurs in our subdivision, our residents are very concerned. And so far, when we took a poll and who sent it to us, we had many more not liking the idea than liking it. So that's what our subdivision has this comment.
Thank you very much, sir. We now move on to Ms. Margaret Johnson.
Good evening. I'm Margaret Johnson. I live at 7509 Gannon Avenue, and I am one of the co-chairs of the Bike Walk Task Force, and the Bike Walk Plan was part of our project you have before you tonight. We began meeting in October of 2010. We had members appointed by every council member, and our final report was due in February of 2012. As you can see, we're rather behind in terms of the dates. During the time, we've had many public meetings as the plan was drafted. It has evolved over time due to public input. We presented the plan to every relevant city commission, where it has received unanimous support. When we began, our goal was to move UCity into a leadership position in regional movement in planning and building bicycle and pedestrian infrastructure. Today, our goal is to keep UCity from falling further behind. Many cities in our region already have bike walk plans in place and are implementing them. Cities in various stages of planning and implementation are St. Louis City, Ferguson, Sunset Hills, Bridgeton, Vernita Park, Brentwood, Clayton, Maplewood, Richmond Heights, Rock Hill, Woods and Terrace, and Webster Groves. Clayton already has marked bike paths that terminate at our city limits, where our plan would continue them to UCity destinations. And just today, Clayton was honored for having one of the top 10 best complete streets policies in the country. And to top that off, a regional bike plan, which includes part of UCity, is in the construction stage. Our plan, and I emphasize the word plan, contains a 20-year vision for our city. It says, in effect, that UCity wants to create safe ways for students to walk to school, wants to locate, mark, and upgrade safer routes for bicyclists and pedestrians, and supports a healthier lifestyle for our citizens. There are some legitimate concerns by people that live along the paths and routes, and these concerns must be considered as the plan is actually implemented. It is a 20-year plan, and there will be many adjustments to it because of engineering concerns, neighborhood concerns, and changing city needs. There will be proposed routes that the city engineers will discover will not work. There will be proposed routes that folks on the impacted streets simply do not want. I remind the city and the citizens present that whenever any piece of this plan is implemented, it will again be considered at the minimum by the Traffic Commission, the Plan Commission, and the City Council for approval. It's a plan that will be implemented and budgeted piece by piece. Approving this plan will give the city leverage for grants and monies from St. Louis County, MoDOT, the federal government, and nonprofit funders. Multimodal transportation is the way of the future, and either U City gets aboard or we will be left behind. Just last week, the election people passed Prop P and was passed by 67% in the city and 53% in the county. The citizens just last week voted to raise our taxes 3/16 of a cent, part of which will go to the Great Rivers Greenway as they complete their master plan for bike paths and greenways in our region. One of those greenways, the Centennial Greenway, passes through U City and is part of our master plan. Anyone who has watched this council over the last year knows that the decisions you make are often driven not by the welfare of the city, but by personal animosities and political maneuverings. I am requesting that the members of this council put aside those issues and place the future of the city at the center of your decision making. Doing any less is a disservice to the citizens you represent. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ms. Carol Wofsy.
On. Ladies and gentlemen, my name's Carol Wofsy. I live at 7171 Kingsbury Boulevard. I have been a member of the Walk Bike Task Force and the steering committee that oversaw the design of the master plan under consideration. I support the plan wholeheartedly and believe that it will be good for all of U City for all the reasons Ms. Johnson just so ably laid out. I want to speak to you, though, however, from a more personal, non-theoretical perspective. We learned recently that our daughter, her husband, and two small children will be moving back to St. Louis this summer from Philadelphia, where they live in a walkable, bikeable neighborhood. My son-in-law has bike commuted to downtown Philly for the past 4 years. As they look for a new place to live, a new neighborhood in St. Louis, their criteria is threefold. It must be affordable. It must have good, diverse public schools. And it must be walkable and bikeable. My kids are not unique or even unusual in this. People of my age, and perhaps the age of some of you sitting there, may not walk or bike to work, may never walk or bike to work for groceries or out for coffee, but other generations do, and they are looking for that. This is the future, and U City must include walking and biking in its overall development plans if it wants to continue to attract new residents. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Dennis Fuller. You were on before.
I was on before. There we go. Thank you for letting me address the council. Dennis Fuller, 7365 Colgate. This evening I'm a representative of University Park Subdivision, which encompasses about 800 properties. Briefly, I'd like to ditto what Mr. Hyman just said and simply go to the core of the matter. Neat plan. However, we're responsible for the upkeep and getting our infrastructure up to grade. If this plan runs four blocks, as it's proposed for the bike and the sidewalk through our subdivision, on a brief estimation, because we have been redoing all of our curbing so that we can now upgrade our streets, for the four blocks of Stanford that the bike would go through, I've estimated it will cost my residents $1,200,000+ just to bring the street up so that it is passable for biking and walking. That would be to do the sidewalk cost. Fine. I'd be happy to do that if the city wants to provide that. We don't have it, and I cannot put that burden of tax on my subdivision. Here's the other issue. All the liability questions. Who's going to be responsible? Somebody falls off and hits a pothole if the street's not up. Who's going to be out of this plan? The plan's great. I see no financial impact that accompanies this plan. So before we can put a plan into order, I'd like to have some financial impact as to who's going to be responsible, how much this is going to cost all of us. And furthermore, if the city's going to take responsibility, great. How much is that going to raise my taxes? Or if I'm going to have to go to my subdivision to bring this, you can't mandate us to do that. I can't mandate the city to clean my street right now. How can the city mandate me to bring my infrastructure up? I'd like to have some more information on this before we go forward with this plan. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. E.F. Porter. You can push the button right in the middle.
Oh, thank you. Good evening, Madam Mayor and members of the council. My name is E.F. Porter. I live at 341 Westgate. I'm here with to talk about one particular aspect of the plan, which we think actually reflects a great deal of thought and creativity went into it. However, there is one that appears mainly... Oh, first of all, I want to say that from this plan I learned a new word. Sharrow. Well, it's not in my Webster's, it's not in the Oxford English Dictionary, but it does mean puppy dog in Bulgarian, but I don't think that's what they meant. It appears in a footnote on page 17. It says Centennial Greenway is previously approved planning initiative of the Great Rivers Greenway is included as in the University City Bicycle and Pedestrian Plan. GRG maintains full authority over ongoing and future planning, design, and implementation of the Centennial Greenway. That may be true. I am here to speak only from that reach of the Centennial Greenway from Kingsbury to Washington University or to Forest Park Expressway. We are interested to know how University City gave jurisdiction to GRG over what is, in fact, a public park. It just may have occurred when we weren't looking, but we're certainly not aware of it. And I don't think the city is in the habit of giving up public parks or pieces of them without notification of at least the adjoining property owners. There may be others who have more to say about this, but that's the question I raise. We think it's an abdication of University City's jurisdiction. Thank you. If you have anybody has any questions, we'll try to answer them. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Joe Edwards.
Hi, Joe Edwards, 6504 Delmar. Just a real short comment. The plan makes it sound as if the Loop is not bicycle friendly, and on behalf of the Loop Special Business District, just like to point out how we have along with city economic development funds, have implemented quite a few nice bicycle racks over the last year, which also double as great street art. And the Centennial Greenway is partway constructed, and I think we're friendlier than it might have sounded in the report. That's all. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. That is our final request to speak in the public hearing, and I declare this public hearing closed at 6:50. Thank you very much. We have nothing on a consent agenda tonight. We now move on to the city manager's report. Mr. Walker. Ms. Pum, are there other bike plans? Ms. Brode, please come up.
My phone.
I apologize, I put it in the wrong pile.
Thanks for your apology. I just didn't want to miss out. I'm Stephanie Brode. I live at 8145 Cornell Court in University City. Throughout my 40 years plus of living in University City, I have loved the city. I have worked to improve and make better and promote this city everywhere I go. I'm so proud that we have often been so very forward-thinking. The council and the citizens together have promoted so many excellent ideas to make our lives better and improve the environment. In the past, we worked for LEED certification on the new standards used when we remodeled this wonderful 100-plus-year-old building. And it was remodeled and brought up to date, and we were applauded for what we had done. When new businesses or new homes are built, we have an excellent code that is much more environment friendly than when I moved in. We certainly didn't tell businesses that they had to be publicly accessible. They were just sort of climb the stairs or you can't use the bathroom. So now we're really looking to include all people to come and shop and live here. I can't give enough praise for the idea of Centennial Commons. It's one of the best things we ever did. I am so fit, I just can't believe that I'm 70 years old. And it's all thanks to Centennial Commons, to our fitness program, to our excellent instructors, to the great machines, and to all the people who are my new friends there. We were forward-looking. We didn't just build a basketball court. We built something for the future. And I never can forget my forestry commission that I added when I was a council member. We are looking to make sure that this city has trees and is beautiful from the trees and the flowers. We have a chance again to move forward. We have a chance to help our people, though in planning this, we are behind, as you've heard, many other cities, such as Clayton and Ferguson and even St. Louis City. Personally, I approve the plan, keeping in mind it is a plan. Just like everything that we put into other plans, as time goes on, especially if it's a 20-year plan, there are many aspects that can be negotiated and trained. But I think the time has come. And yes, I know there are bike racks in the loop, but the loop in many ways is much more bikeable and walkable than any other part of our city. I think it's time to look forward with a long-range plan that's been offered to you. And I think the city has done an excellent job. This council has appropriated money for staff and hired consultants. This isn't just an idea thought up by some of us. It's an idea based on what we want in a city and what we can do. There are many places where biking is indicated today, and it's not safe, and we know it. But there are some areas that really could be improved. On the Traffic Commission that I am on, we voted unanimously to approve this plan as a beginning, and we cautioned that we always have to understand that we need to encourage the people to participate, to discuss this and to promote better health of our citizens, our visitors, and our workers. We urged that the plan really stress safety factors and informative signs that say where you can bike and where you can't bike. In conclusion, I ask you, the council, the mayor, the city manager, the city clerk, to work together to continue our city's history of working together to help provide better lives for our residents by implementing this plan. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That is our last request to speak in this public hearing, so I am closing this public hearing at 6:55. Thank you very much. We have no consent agenda tonight. We now move on to the city manager's report. Mr. Walker.
Madam Mayor and members of council, the first item under the city manager's report is the purchase of three 3/4-ton four-wheel drive trucks. Staff is recommending that city council approve an award to Don Brown Chevrolet for 3 3/4-ton four-wheel drive trucks for a total amount of $66,288.
Is there a motion to approve? Mr. Price, is there a second? Mr. Sharp, is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye. All those opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much, Mr. Walker.
Second item under the city manager's report is the liquor license for the Good Pie located at 6665 Delmar Boulevard. Staff is recommending approval.
Is there a motion to approve? Mr. Crow, is there a second? Mr. Glickert, is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye. All those opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much, Mr. Walker.
The third and last item under the city manager's report is a discussion item. There's a report that is before council on the senior commission and youth commission proposal. I'm going to ask Ms. Abby Carter to come up and speak to the report. She was the chair, co-chair of the task force.
Ms. Abby Carter. And if you could please give your name and address before you present. And if you could turn on the mic by pushing the button right in the bottom middle. Thank you very much.
I am Abby M. Carter, 1135 Watts Avenue, University City, Missouri. And I am going to represent the Task Force for Seniors and Youth. We have a copy of our report that we gave to you in April, and I am going to go through the report. It will not take as long as you think it will because it seems long, but it's not that long. I will not say every word in here, but if you would open your book. We want to look at the acknowledgments to see how many really people were on the committee. Everyone didn't attend every meeting. There were 19 and 15 people attended meetings. We had visitors from the community. We invited them to come in and report to us. And you see the list of those visitors there. We had special acknowledgments, and really we had a few people from outside of the University City area because we were supposed to look at the surrounding area. In the introduction, it tells this is the task force, and we started in October 2010. We didn't finish until we were 2 years into it in April. Okay. The charge, we were given a task of communicating with local seniors and youth residents about their opinions of University City. So we decided to do a survey, hard copies and online. We found out that the young people enjoyed the online idea. They went online and did the survey. If we look at page 2, this page tells the distribution areas. And we had quite a number of them. You will be able to read those, of where we sent the surveys from May to October. That's when we got our report, the surveys that we had collected. 509 from the youth and 368 from the seniors. If you look on page 3, we have the data collection for the teens. We got information about housing, education, health, work, and social values. For the seniors, we have housing, shopping, social, cultural values, work, transport, accessibility, and service. On the youth, there were 51 questions. On the seniors, there were 54. We are not going to go into each one of those because you can look at that. For our recommendations, the very first recommendation we have there, develop a University City Commission on Youth Issues to assume follow-up on the recommendations of the task force and oversee potential development of new initiatives for the teen population in University City. Just to point out a few of those recommendations, create a task force on gang prevention. If we see here, 63% of the young people said they know someone who has dropped out of school. So we wanted to look at that. And we worked very closely with the district because we had a member on the committee from the district. Create a community garden. Determine the best course of action to reduce teen pregnancy. That was one of the big items on the survey. Create a youth non-smoking community in University City. Create a community-wide anti-drug campaign. Work with regional art commission on each community, on their community art training. Then we go to the senior results, 368. Let's look at the recommendations there. And the very first one, if we look on page 12, develop a University City Commission on Senior Issues to do the very same thing that we said for the young people. We noticed that the seniors said they communication was something that was lacking with them. So we thought to suggest strategies to educate the community. We could develop a one-page education piece. This piece could go out when we send the mailing out for the refuge bill or whatever. Put that in there, one page. Develop a page on the University City website. On page 14, identify city staff or partner with a community agency to seek grant funding to augment out what we have going on. Explore the possibility of hiring a full or part-time staff to serve as a senior resource liaison. We do have information out there, but sometimes we seniors need a little help. And we thought that would be a way to help we seniors, because I'm a senior too. I don't want you to think I've forgotten I am a senior too.
explore options for identifying an existing handyman program. Sometimes there are little things around that we need done. That wasn't too long, was it? Now, if you want to go online and get the information, you go to ucity.org, Boards and Commissions, Task Force for Seniors and Youth, and you can see the entire thing. Well, our final thought. We are committed as a committee to forming a youth commission and a senior commission, and we will do whatever we need to do to make this happen. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Carter. We have one more request to speak, and then I would open it up for council discussion if desired. Ms. Beverly Williams.
My name is Beverly Williams at 6509 Corbett Avenue in University City. I know you are considering an audit to establish two commissions and one to look at issue that I've thought about is the youth and the seniors. I want to express my support for this. I listen to her, and it's very important. I worked with children here in University City for years. I worked with the Frank Orlandorf that used to be here since 1987. The strategic planning in University City with the community. I've also am skilled in strategic planning, which I have done for University City. I have a scholarship for teaching teachers how to apply themselves. So I'm very busy with seniors and youth. It is very important that we pass this bill. It is very important that they have what they need and want. It is very important for our children, for our youth to have input in what's happening and what they want here. I work very hard here. And I work as a most outstanding volunteer teacher here in University City. This is a very, very important bill to pass. And I'm hoping that, for one thing, we have a little task force going on right now. I'm working with Sultan Muhammad at Pershing Elementary School. We have about 6 to 7 kids that we teach for resistance, prevention, gang membership, violence, peer pressure. We go to door to door to the seniors trying to get our input in. I am a block captain. I have been for years, and a lot of people recognize me here. We need to bring our youth into the discussion about their needs and their want and how to deter negative activity. This commission is one way to do that. I just leave some feedback. We need to gather all the information we can from our youth and from our senior and what they're wanting. It's a great idea to get this bill passed before another summer, please.
Thank you very much. That's our last request to speak. Does any member of council have anything he or she would like to say, Mr. Price?
Yeah, I guess the issue is, and I always say, follow the money trail. So if people support youth and seniors, they're going to put the money. Because you can talk, but when it comes time to budget for those budget items, some people you think may be for youth and seniors may not be there. And I've always supported seniors and youth. And my budgetary actions speak loudly for that. The question for me is not not to support the issue of looking at developing commissions on this. The issue has to come, we have to bring to me, it has to come through the proper channels, because for me, we had a long lag and we didn't hear anything about this. And then I think I emailed the mayor and said, what's going on with the senior and youth issue? And then this shows up. But, and then there's the task force is, and this is not beat up on the mayor, but the mayor doesn't have the authority to say who's going to get appointed. The council has the authority to develop the structure of who's get appointed to a commission. And right now we don't have one. And what I would like to see is for this to go back to the city manager and we find out, you know, how can we, you know, legally form the commissions, or also with the youth, because you got minors involved and et cetera, can they be a actual commission like the other commissions? I don't know the legal answer to that. And if not, then what type of structure can be formed around the youth, and also for us to have the school district heavily involved with that, because the youth is going to come from there. So right now, to say that, you know, we can vote on a bill, which I don't clearly understand what exactly the structure is, and the way, especially on commissions, each person has one appointee, because we're all have equal vote. So Byron can appoint three, and then everybody else here appoints one to a commission. Each person has one person they can vote on, and that's the way it should be, and that's the way it's always been. So it has to go through to meet a proper channel, and I'd like to send this back to the city manager to come up what is the best arrangement for separating the senior task force, a senior commission, and whether we can have a youth commission, youth committee. I'm not sure what structure the youth should actually be on. And tonight, I'm not going to try to argue through that, because I think that's some legal questions that need to be brought back to us.
So, Mr. Price, are you making a motion that this go to Mr. Walker to work with the task force on the membership? Is that what you were making a motion?
Well, I don't think we've moved from, I think this is in our court, not their court, because their court finished when we got this.
So you're asking
Mr. Walker to take this back and come back with what structures need to be happening and exactly what we need to do as it relates to the seniors and youth commissions, committee. I'm not sure if the youth need to be a committee or a commission.
So, Mr. Walker, are you clear on the request?
Yes, I am, Madam Mayor.
Anyone else want to say anything? Hearing none. Okay, we are now moving on.
I'd like to concur with almost all of what Mr. Price has to say. I want to first thank the task force for their hard work and their recommendations. It was really a lot of stuff to go through. And I think the task force really came up to one point, which I think we're all going to agree on, is that it's really not one task force. There's two separate task forces. There's a youth task force, is one totally separate set of issues, and then the senior task force is another set of issues. But I do want to echo Mr. Price's comments. I don't really care how many people are on these commissions. But to make it simple, they come in multiples of seven. There's seven of us, and there's seven appointments. So that takes care of that. The question that I had the same question about youth members of a commission. My thought would be is that you appoint a multiple of seven for the youth commission of adults. Youth members tend to, you know, they're juniors and seniors or sophomores in school. I think if they get appointed for a year and stick around for a year, that's actually pretty good. I think they, my guess is that we'll find out they need to be ad hoc members. I'm not sure they can vote. The youth, I really don't have a particular, I don't have a lot of insight into some of these youth issues since most of us up here are closer to seniors than we are to youth. I really was impressed. In fact, I think five of us here, I think all of us could join AARP up here. I'm not quite sure, but we're getting close. On the youth issue, I was interested that you highlighted health issues. Specifically, as a physician, I'm quite aware of health, the statistics, and the controversies that revolve around youth health. These are big issues. These are issues like teen pregnancy, teen suicide, drugs, alcohol, cigarettes. And if you can come up with a commission of seven people that can solve any of just one of those problems, I would be very impressed. These are national problems. So I recognize you having set out those problems, but I think if your metric for having a successful commission is that teen smoking goes down by 50% in University City, I want to see that program because no one else has been able to come up with it. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't try. I have my own thoughts on the senior task force, and I found the survey actually very encouraging. The survey said some good things about University City. It said 85% of seniors reported easily accessible pharmacies and grocery stores. That's a good number. 80% thought U City had available faith communities and opportunities for exercise and recreation. That sounded positive. Two-thirds thought U City had safe outdoor spaces and affordable places to eat and socialize. And the report did an excellent job of going through the list of unmet senior needs. Finally, the way I read the report, there were the needs were grouped into four areas as I saw them. One was provide information. It was really, one of them was sort of an informational thing, which I think you alluded to with the flyer, but I think there's other ways. Two was to partner with non-governmental organizations. Three was transportational needs, and the fourth one was expand senior services. So I like it up till there. What I really question, and this is a question, and it isn't meant to diminish your work, but I question is how effective is a commission of real amateurs going to be? In other words, the task force had some people on it who were real professionals in the area. If we're going to appoint citizens to a commission, usually what happens when we have a commission, we appoint relative amateurs to the plan commission or the traffic commission, and we have staff members who are there to advise people on, you know, what the laws are and how things are done to guide the amateur citizens in that direction. What my concern about the seniors, I have no real opinion on the youth one because I don't know enough about it, is on the seniors that we really need people with expertise driving the process. In University City, unlike when you're talking about the traffic commission or the plan commission, we do not have professionals in-house to go get resources and to find answers to questions. So what I would recommend would be for University City to partner with the already existing University City senior resource team. I mean, this is a group of professionals in the field that has been meeting monthly for 12 years and has more expertise than any commission that I think we could possibly appoint. This group meets every month at the Brentmore and is previously meant at Centennial Commons. Now, what I would suggest, and I think using your report as the impetus, I would suggest that UCity have one or two staff people attend those monthly meetings. UCity staff regularly attend non-governmental organizational meetings, most specifically or most obviously the Del Mar business meeting, and these kinds of information are really very helpful. The UCity senior research team has extensive information and access to resources, and UCity is well positioned to disseminate this information to the community. In addition, I would suggest that UCity have a recreation person attend the meetings. It appears the senior programs at Centennial Commons and the park system, from your report and from what I've talked to people, could really be improved. And I think that the UCity senior resource team really could provide guidance to UCity staff as to how those programs could really be improved for our seniors. And you know, the idea would be to make these programs available, and maybe they all won't. You know, I think Centennial Commons is obviously the first thought, but you know, maybe we would be creative, and some of the programs would be someplace else. I also think a library representative should be included. They're a wonderful resource for people of all ages in University City. And the advantage of doing it that way is it's not driven by, you know, what the amateurs on a well-meaning on a commission, but it's driven by people who are working every day with seniors on an everyday basis, so they know, you know, what the specific needs are. If there's something that comes up, then we can respond to it. My suggestion would be, as other issues emerge, whether it's crosswalks, timing of lights, safety, the public works people could come to the meetings and become involved. The police would become involved. So my recommendation on senior issues would really, whether or not we have a commission, would be to get University City staff involved in the existing group that already meets and is already active on a regular basis. Thank you.
Any other comments? Thank you very much. We now move on to council reports and business. Appointments that are outstanding. Mr. Kraft has an appointment to the Board of Appeals. Mr. Crow has an appointment to the Gallup Commission. Ms. Carr has an appointment to the Parks Commission. Mr. Sharp has appointments to the Library Board and Historic Preservation Commission. And I also have an appointment to the Gallup Commission. Reiterate the words of our city clerk during our study session. I think we're doing a much better job of getting these appointments done in a timely fashion, and I thank all of you. Is there any member of council who would like to report on a board or commission to which they liaise? Mr. Glickert.
Very quickly, just to follow up on the Land Clearance and Redevelopment Authority meeting. From last Thursday, we met with a developer who is working on the property at North and South and Olive. And it was a very good meeting, in the sense of a developer who has invested a lot of money in that facility, which is going to be a medical facility, to the tune of over $900,000. He is also very interested in the property across the street, which the city is working on right now for sale. And I think the other thing to note, which I thought was very positive with this developer, was A, he's from Central Illinois, so we're getting a new business coming here from out of state. And number two, he has bought two homes on Mona Drive and is redeveloping those homes to bring in two people from Central Illinois to work in that office. So I was just really excited to listen to him, and I wanted to share that with everybody, because obviously we have a lot of residential property and commercial property that's still out there that we need to fill, and this is one example of it being filled. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other members of council want to make a report on their council liaison positions? Okie doke. We now move on to you have the task force minutes and board and commission minutes in your packets. We now move on to other discussions and business.
I sent members of council an email on Monday, March 18th, advising attached to that were the master evaluation forms for our city manager and city clerk from last year. I said in that document that I would be asking members of council if any of you would be willing to work on a subcommittee. That would be two or three of you who would look at these forms and come with some suggested updates if needed so that we can begin the evaluation process of our two employees and have that finished by July 1st. So with that, are there any members of council? Ms. Carr? Thank you very much, Ms. Carr. Are there any other member of council who are willing to work with Ms. Carr on this?
I'll work with Ms. Carr.
Mr. Glickert? And if there is one more, we could take one more. Mr. Crow. Ms. Carr, Mr. Crow, and Mr. Glickert, thank you very much. If you could proceed, and if we could, keeping in mind that the goal would be to have the evaluations completed by the beginning of the next fiscal year, if you could work within that time frame. Does one of you want to kind of take charge of calling you together?
I think we should have that done sooner, Mayor.
That would be the very latest. I mean, that would give you 3 months. I would hope that it would be done myself by the end of next month.
Yeah, I would like to have it done in concert with the budget. When we adopt the budget for next year, we should also have this done too, I think.
Well, that's what I was saying, by the beginning of the next fiscal year, July 1st. So I'm sorry if I misstated that, but that would be the goal. Ms. Carr, do you want to take charge of trying to get guys together? Thank you very much. Okay, thank you, Ms. Carr, Mr. Crow, and Mr. Glickert. And Ms. Carr will be in touch with both of you and set up some meetings so you can get moving. I appreciate you stepping up to the plate. We now move to Mr. Price and Ms. Carr.
Actually, I asked for this to be put on, although we were holding a public hearing. One of the things that that came to my attention is in the public hearing notice, it says the City Council will be considering the adoption of the draft plan as a supplement to University City 2005 Comprehensive Plan Update. It's a new vision. It's a different vision than the 2005 Comprehensive City Plan, and we're in the process of developing a new Comprehensive City Plan. So I'd like to talk a little bit about this. The mayor gave the members of this task force, which she appointed, charges. And these charges, unfortunately, were not authorized by council. What do I mean by that? It is the council in this city that determines the policy. And at any time, the council could have been brought together and in concert with the mayor, agreed, voted on and agreed that these were the charges, and yet that was never done. The council did not express a desire to move forward on making U-City a complete streets community. They might have, but they didn't. The task force met all of the mayor's charges and did it admirably. They did a fine job, but the mayor's charges were not completely in accord with the city charter. The council cannot delegate policy making. It is against the charter. The development of the plan, it was prepared by TrailNet and H3 Studios, and as you heard tonight, no trustees of the private subdivisions were identified as stakeholders or included in the process. I wanted to ask when they were informed that this was occurring. Now, I've heard before that, oh, they could have read the plan, they could have attended it, but when I talked to the people on the task force nearly a year ago, I said, take this out to the people. And apparently the trustees are not people. 19 stakeholders were listed in the report. Again, none were trustees of any of the subdivisions in my ward. There are two large subdivisions, one of them being the largest in the whole state of Missouri. This also said business owners, merchants, institutions among the stakeholders. I knew most of the stakeholders, and I didn't see any institutions or merchants listed there. And in my opinion, there was not enough attention paid to developing a complete list of destinations of importance within University City. The concentration was destinations through TrailNet, and that's all well and good. But in this city, I want to get from point A to point B. And I'll let TrailNet, who now gets an extra $10 million a year, take care of the other destinations. Essentially, one out of 1,000 UCity citizens was involved in developing the details, and the council, again, is responsible for policymaking, not directing the police or staff, which are some of the suggestions in this report. Okay, the Bicycle and Pedestrian Facility Network, and if you look at your packet, I actually put in the map that was provided by this task force, a very beautiful map, and that is the facilities network. And I have some concerns and problems. Curb replacement. It says that we'll be replacing rolled curbs for vertical curbs. That requires millions of dollars. It's unneeded. It's too expensive. New sidewalks in areas not containing sidewalks, again costing millions of dollars. It shows a complete lack of understanding of 100 years' worth of municipal policy. Areas in the West are free from sidewalks by choice of the city and the residents. This was a positive choice of the policy by each council as each neighborhood was platted, some with sidewalks and some without. Those neighborhoods with sidewalks paid for them when they purchased their homes from the developer, or later by petition, hearings, and payment, at least in part by the benefiting property owners. So city didn't pay for them, actually the property owners did. Grants and block grants were used to pay for sidewalks when requested by the proper process when neighborhood property owners could not afford them. So there's a way when people cannot afford them and want them, we can still get them, and that is past policy. The charter is very specific about public improvements. Article 11, sections 87, 90, and 91 says that it involves a resolution by council for each improvement, not just a hearing, but a resolution. And a public hearing where all interested parties are notified, and that even means the trustees of these subdivisions. And property owners are responsible for paying. Striping and signs, that must go before the Traffic Commission, whose policy it is to hold public hearings on each site-specific addition or change, where all affected persons shall be notified, and then forwarded to council for consideration. Addition of lighting, honestly, we can't afford that. By charter, staff cannot make policy, and the council cannot delegate policy making. And I keep saying that because apparently it just doesn't sink in. Boards and commissions can make recommendations to the council, but the council is not required to rubber stamp those recommendations. Only the council can make policy. Implementation. The implementation that I read is flawed. The phasing and priorities are inappropriate, unrealistic, and in some cases presumptuous. The council makes a policy and the staff is responsible for carrying out or executing the details. Striping and signage, for instance, is given first priority, while repairing and replacing sidewalks is given second priority, meaning that's 5 to 15 years out. If my constituent calls about a broken sidewalk, I want that fixed immediately. I don't want that to have to wait for 5 to 15 years. You cannot leave broken sidewalks. The City Council will prioritize projects first, then segments, then features, if necessary, based on finances. The staff will prioritize ongoing progress annually, like planting, sidewalk repair, curb repair, signs, striping, placement. I appreciate the work of the task force, but that is not the job of the task force. I have an alternative approach for approving the plan and appending it to the 2005 Comprehensive City Plan. Take this plan to the Plan Commission for dissection, analysis, and consideration of incorporation of parts into the Comprehensive City Plan being developed. Biking and walking are next to motherhood and apple pie in University City. What is worth doing? The plan produced a list of 15 or so projects to be thoroughly studied by the staff to determine if and how they can best be implemented. In the end, those projects are all we'll see and use. The plan, it may be possible or advisable to take one project to completion per year, for instance, Jackson-Purdue. But that is really appropriately discussed during the ongoing budgeting process. And by ongoing, I mean it's happening now. The final note, $36,000 for bicycle facilities is proposed in the CIP for 2014-2018, and the council has those papers there with them. I've provided that for them. This assumes adoption of the plan, and the plan has not been adopted. We are the ones that make that decision, and as much as I like Mr. Wilson, and I do, we make that decision. This plan has been marched through the processes without the expressed desire of a majority of the council and in the face of some objection to doing so. Why? I simply can't understand why we haven't been allowed to make that decision. I move, and this is a motion, that we send the draft bicycle and pedestrian plan along with the comments from the just-held public hearing and the comments from this council back to the Plan Commission to be read and analyzed with regard to compliance with our charter and the university, city, municipal policies and considered for incorporation into the new comprehensive city plan in process of that is in process of being developed.
Second.
There is a motion and there's a second. I am not sure I am clear on this motion. You mentioned the 2005 plan, which the Plan Commission is already considering changing that, and you mentioned a new plan. I'm not sure what this motion states. And I would also say that I am not sure that we have the authority to tell the Plan Commission what to do. But, Mr. Walker, could I ask you, wasn't the plan after this public hearing that it would eventually be going back to the Plan Commission? I thought the Plan Commission discussed that when it was presented to them at the last meeting. Could you clarify that, Mr. Walker?
I'm going to ask Mrs. Riganti to speak to that.
Ms. Riganti, our Director of Community Development.
Thank you. For clarification, the plan was approved by the Plan Commission. Let me back up for just a second. The plan is being walked through the process as a supplement to the comprehensive plan. It's not an amendment in that we aren't revising anything that's included in the 2005 plan. We did walk it through the process and have Plan Commission vote on the plan as a supplement. They did so at, I believe, two meetings ago. I don't quote me on the exact date, but they did approve it, and we are processing it again as an amendment, supplement to the comprehensive plan. We are holding the, in accordance with the charter, we are holding a public hearing at this meeting, and then staff through Plan Commission will be bringing forward a recommendation on the adoption of the plan. In terms of council authority, the council does have the authority to refer a matter back to Plan Commission for additional consideration.
I guess my question wasn't this going back? I thought when I was at that Plan Commission meeting, they talked about it coming back to them.
What they did indicate is that due to the timing of this plan and the possible consideration of certain projects for grants, and granting authorities look more favorably on projects that are included in an overall comprehensive plan rather than a standalone plan, we wanted to adopt this as a supplement to the comprehensive plan of 2005. However, it will be considered for incorporation in the next iteration of the comprehensive plan, which, as Ms. Carr indicated, is underway at this time.
Thank you. Mr. Price?
To me, this whole thing needs to stop and desist. And this is why. We sat back there in a study session. Number one, there was big issues with cost that I've never received an answer on. Of funneling funds from our under, we're not even keeping pace with our regular street repair. The question was asked right back there, if you take $1 million or whatever it is, then we're further behind. I never got a response back on that. And I keep hearing this flimsy issue about grants. That has nothing to do with us, this body, siphoning off money to maintain items we're not even doing today. We're not maintaining the streets now. So we're going to siphon money somewhere else where we're not even maintaining streets today. And I keep hearing this about trees. We're not cutting the trees that we planted 40 years ago.
We got trees growing all the way over to the other side of the street. I get calls all the time about trees. I get calls all the time about potholes. So when did this become the top priority when back there it was not? Who made that decision that it became a priority? And please don't say I'm disrespecting staff. I'm asking staff, did you decide that? Who decided to supplement this and bypass the normal channel and make this a fast track? Because I'm hearing we got to fast track this. How did this get fast tracked where we never decided to track it?
Mr. Walker?
I don't get this. How did it get fast tracked when there was never a decision made to track anything? We just discussed that. There was no answers given. Now all of a sudden, we're going to commit our budget to some pie-in-the-sky deal. And then when I got to tell the residents I serve, well, I'm sorry, your pothole can't get fixed. Your street got to remain toe up. That dead tree got to be sitting over there, but we're going to mark your streets with a bike trail. That's where your money going. So somebody explain to me, I've never got answers back for my question back there. Now all of a sudden we talking about voting, making law. Where did that come from?
Mr. Walker?
Don't we have a motion on the floor?
It is a motion and a second on the floor.
Well, then I'm going to make a point of order on the motion because I think it's out of order.
Could I ask, we do have a motion and a second. I would like Mr. Walker to have the opportunity to answer Mr. Price's question to be considered as we move forward with the motion. Mr. Walker.
Madam Mayor, through the Council Member Price, I don't believe that the staff have made any suggestion with respect to what Council should do in terms of dealing with this particular plan. A plan has been prepared. You've just recently had a public hearing. We've come forward, I believe, as part of the budget process to identify some of the implications associated with the plan. The plan speaks to various funding sources, and that has really been all of the involvement of staff. You know, clearly we recognize that those are decisions that Council has to make. As Council Member Sharp has indicated, there is a motion to refer it back to the Plan Commission, and I don't think that we can add any more than that.
Okay, before, just a question on my point of order. Before I make my point of order, it was my understanding that this was going back to the Plan Commission after tonight's hearing. Is that correct?
No, sir. What was going to happen at a subsequent meeting is that a recommendation from the Plan Commission would be brought to City Council for approval. Once you have a recommendation before you, you can remand something back to Plan Commission for further consideration. But at this point, you have nothing from Plan Commission to consider. And just the charter says that the Plan Commission has the authority to prepare for a City Council consideration a master plan that considers all development. Bike walk obviously is part of development. Therefore, this is being submitted to you all as a supplement because it involves development, and it is coming from Plan Commission, and it has, and again, it is under the charter that the Plan Commission shall prepare for City Council consideration a master plan.
Okay, so then my point of order is to that point. In other words, we can't remand it back because they haven't given it to us yet. So if it shows up at the next council meeting, then I would say that we should go ahead and do whatever we can vote any way we want. But I think it's out of order right now because there's nothing to remand back.
Mr. Price?
Well, And I agree with Mr. Kraft. It is out of order because it came here out of order.
It's not here.
No, I'm saying her standing here tonight, statements being made that something's been proposed that never was approved by this body. You didn't say that, but somebody else made that statement before this thing kicked off, because I made a note of it. This whole thing is out of order because it never should have left that council study to go anywhere, because there was no agreement on what was taking place with this. There was disagreement. There were questions that these people in the subdivision has raised. I got serious questions about right-of-ways, about easements that cannot be blowed away like it's no big deal, that people need to know if this is going to happen on their street, in their neighborhood. So it came here out of order.
Actually, point of information.
Mr. Kraft, then Ms. Carr.
Just from my understanding, when I was the liaison to the Plan Commission, it seemed to me that a lot of things came to Plan Commission that Council hadn't pre-approved. Is that correct, or am I misinformed?
That's correct, sir. As previously stated, the charter says the Plan Commission shall prepare for City Council, prepare and submit for City Council approval a master plan. So that is the charter prescribed order. The Plan Commission prepares something for City Council to consider.
Second point of information. So it clarify, this has already been to the Plan Commission, is that correct?
That is correct.
And the Plan Commission voted on it?
That is correct.
And what was the vote?
Unanimous approval.
So it was unanimously approved. And just a further point of information, has this plan been to any other commissions? I recall as the liaison to the Tree Commission, I saw it as the liaison to the, I think, the Library Commission, and it was also before the Parks Commission. Did it go to the Traffic Commission too?
Yes, it did.
And were any of the votes not unanimous?
Not to my recollection. Ms. Carr?
Thank you. I guess first I would like to say that that Mr. Price deserved an answer. We all deserved an answer. Just because you take it to the commission, and that's what Mr. Price is talking about, you marched it through those things without bringing it back to us and saying, is this your wish? This came out of tasking from the mayor, who is one of seven. There was no universal agreement. There wasn't even majority agreement. We had some questions, and yet it was marched through as if it was a done deal, and that's what you're telling us. So I'm going to read this again so maybe we get this straight. The council may make the Plan Commission may make recommendations to us, including a master plan, and this is not the master plan for the city. This is something that you want to supplement to the existing plan, or append, as I prefer to say. But in fact, we do not have to accept that. And what I have said here today was that there are some very real questions. You can say we've contacted everybody, but you just heard two major private subdivisions get up and say, we have some problems. Why were they not consulted early on? And yet substantial portions of the connectors are going through these subdivisions. Didn't hear from the Hills, so maybe they're pretty happy with anything that's going through the Hills. I understand clearly that there is a desire for biking and walking in the city, and I'm not ignoring it. What I am saying is that the process is flawed. Just as Mr. Price said earlier with the Seniors and Youth Task Force, the process was flawed. Let's back it up. There are parts of this plan that are good and parts of this plan that clearly will not stand up to our charter. Let it be taken to the Plan Commission where they actually read it, pull it apart, and put it together and say, this part works, this part will not work. I'm not asking for you to have H3 get up again and make a glitzy presentation and everybody nods their head and votes once. I want some real study because, quite frankly, to our city manager and to everyone here in this in this room. I have spent weeks reading through this and weeks making notes and weeks trying to understand what we will be obligated for, what we will not be obligated for, and what kinds of authority we will be abdicating. And I cannot stand by and smile politely and say, have at it. So I brought this to the council to discuss. This is a council issue. I know your position. And we will make the decision about whether we want it to go back to the Plan Commission to be examined and to pick those parts that will actually work for our city. And I do have some ideas. I think we should take one project at a time and actually go all the way through, put the sidewalks in, put everything in. But it's going to require extensive citizen contact, not one out of 1,000, not 20 who attend a charrette, but some real contact. And if that means that this council member has to knock on everybody's door, I've done it before, I'll do it again.
Point of information.
Mr. Kraft. Mr. Kraft.
Point of information. Thank you.
I was speaking, but I will allow you to go, but please, when
point
I say Mr. Kraft.
Does have,
okay.
Okay, thank you, Mayor. Point of information. Is there anything in this plan that obligates us to do anything?
Like other plans, it's a vision, it's a blueprint, it's not a financial commitment. As was stated earlier, when it comes to project implementation, each recommendation will be vetted through the proper process, which would include all of the proper boards and commissions, as well as bringing it back before the City Council.
I would just like to clarify before I go to Mr. Crow and Mr. Price that this bike walk master plan did not come out of my charge to the task force. The City of University City was awarded a grant of $62,000 from TrailNet, I believe, to do this bike walk master plan after the task force started its business. This was not an effort by me to go over the rest of the council to do a master plan, and you will not see master plan mentioned in my charge. However, we were approached by TrailNet and offered a $62,000 grant to do a formal bike walk master plan. The previous council and administration did approve that, and the task force became the citizen driving committee of that, as TrailNet had in other towns. I just want to make it clear that the bike walk master plan was done with a $62,000 grant from TrailNet. Mr. Crow, then Mr. Price.
Thank you. I do apologize. I know a couple of my colleagues had looked forward to seeing a little bit more of the basketball game than they're probably going to be able to, but I understand the importance of what we were talking about. I think one of our speakers earlier this evening seemed to frame this in that you are either with us or you are not. And I think it's clear that most all of us sitting up here are concerned about walkability and rideability. And I guess common sense would show us all that when the audience swells before a council meeting, there probably something's going on that we haven't quite kicked all the tires on. So I haven't been on as long as some, but when the audience gets this big, and it has gone through all these commissions unanimously, I think we have to come back and say, when all of U-Heights 1, 2, and 3 comes out, there's got to be something that we're missing here. So it doesn't mean we're against it. It means we got to go back and look through it. I do still find it odd that in 2013, we are looking back at supplementing a 2005 plan. Something in that logic doesn't quite make sense, but maybe there's something that I'm missing there. I want to concur clearly with Mr. Price, and it's not an attack on anyone, and that is that council has questioned the funding priorities for some time. And for us to pass anything that requires us, and I think by passing this we are saying that we want these things to occur, without taking care of the streets that I believe those in the second ward got a long list of issues on several of the streets that have not been taken care of. I think that causes me a great deal of concern. So as we move through this, literally, I mean, I understand that there may be a motion on the floor to take it back, and Mr. Kraft may not want the motion. I think it's clear that this thing is not quite ready for our further attention.
Before I move on, I would just like to clarify that the city staff invited people to come tonight because this is a public hearing, and the purpose of a public hearing is to get input from residents on whatever we're holding the public hearing on. And I would also like to clarify that there was no vote scheduled on this tonight prior to Ms. Carr putting on her item. The staff, Mr. Walker, put on the agenda a public hearing. No member of council was being asked to vote on this plan tonight. We were charged with listening to our residents who came to us tonight and keeping in mind what they said and their concerns, getting answers back to them, and keeping those questions and answers in mind as we move forward with this process, which is not yet finished. Mr. Price?
And I know Mr. Glicker wants to make a statement, and then I want to call for the question if there's no more discussion. The bottom line of this is there was no consensus on to do anything with this. And maybe I was at the wrong meeting, but at the discussion I was at, I need a city manager or somebody to get me the answers to my question. The cost analysis of commitment the city will have, these right-of-way issues, these liability issues, there are a million questions still sitting out there that no answer has been given. And also, staff does not have the right to fast-track commitments of budgetary funds. And what I'm saying is, I sat there, saw the display, asked a question, and was told there was commitment that had to be made in funds. Now, if that story's different, that's a different story than what I heard. Because I heard today there's no obligation. But I heard in our study session there is obligation and commitment that is being made on city funds. So, is that true, not true? If it's not true, then why did you tell me that in the beginning? So for me, cost, right-of-way issues, liability issues, etc. Because to me, this is at the beginning process, nowhere near the end.
Mr. Walker, you have a clear idea of what Mr. Price is asking. And could I ask member of council, after Mr. Walker responds to us, if there are other questions you have, please respond to him quickly. Mr. Walker?
Madam Mayor, through the council member Price, we will provide written responses to all of the various questions that have been raised this evening. I think that staff will respond. We will respond to the members of the public as well who have posed questions to the public hearing. It's the purpose of a public hearing to hear what the public has to say. We've heard that. We've heard council. We'll prepare responses.
Mr. Glickard.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Having a business background, plans are something that I've done my whole career. And essentially, I believe a plan is something that you eventually have to deviate from. It is an illustration. It is a vision, is one of the words that I've heard earlier. This plan, I think everybody agrees, is a great plan. I'd like to see this thing move forward. The public hearing brought out some points that I think probably need to be addressed, and I think the city is capable and the council is capable of handling those things. Certainly the private subdivisions have brought up some very important points that will be addressed. That's not going to be an issue. I don't think it's as dramatic as it seems. We are behind, as you heard. Many cities already have these things in place. I've never thought of us as being the city being last. I always thought we were a city of firsts. I also thought we were a city of equality. And now I think we should be a city of equality of mobility.
So I'd like to see this thing move forward. And I am not going to vote once again to see this thing go someplace else.
Thank you very much. Ms. Carr?
With regard to whether we are committing funds or not, I'm going to quickly read from the proposed capital investment plan for this year. It says project details, project description, bicycle facilities project, $180,000. This project provides for the upgrade of bicycle and pedestrian facilities throughout the city in accordance with the city's bicycle and pedestrian plan. We haven't passed it yet. But if you ask Ms. Rigonti, she will tell you that that plan will be here in the next couple of meetings. This is what we are obligating ourselves to. $36,000, which is why I think we can do some of this in a budget. $36,000 out of our general funds and a federal grant. I think we're under a sequester right now. So I'm, unless I'm hearing the news wrong, so I'm guessing that if we want to do this, we'll probably have to take more out of our general funds. Yes, we have been obligated by the very fact that Mr. Wilson proposed this project. Plan wasn't passed, but the project was proposed based on or in accordance with the city's bicycle and pedestrian plan. I'm not saying no. I'm saying go back and do it right. Go back and do it so that it fits University City perfectly. First isn't always best.
Mr. Kraft?
I was going to object on procedural basis because it's hard to remand something back when it's never been sent to us, but that's a nuance which I'm willing to acquiesce to the council's interpretation. It's interesting that tonight we had everybody get up and talk about the need for senior health, the need for dealing with childhood obesity. People like the idea that their kids can walk to school. I mean, part of this plan is setting up walkable ways to get to school. Part of this plan is about setting up ways so seniors can walk places. This is so seniors and youth can actually use their bicycles. There is something discriminatory in a sense about a city that says we're going to spend, and you can figure out the millions of dollars, so we can have large motorized vehicles go 35 and 40 miles an hour up and down streets. And that's fine. We live in a world of cars and buses and trucks. All we're suggesting is that, you know, there's a place for people and bikes in cities too. And when I go to a place like Portland, I mean, there's bikes all over the place. I mean, it's really nice. San Francisco, Silicon Valley. I mean, people walk and bike. I mean, yes, there's cars there. They've been able to fix their potholes, maintain their streets, and still have a place to bike and still have a place to walk. We're certainly, as far as the issues of the private subdivisions, I can just flat out state that since we're going to have to vote on each little segment a piece at a time, no one is going to mandate that a subdivision have a bike path that they don't want. It doesn't get any simpler than that. I mean, if you don't want it, it's not going to be there. When I lived in Madison, Wisconsin, quite a long time ago, and they started on this bike stuff, people were really very anti-bikes. I mean, wanted to put a bike trail in, and you know, this is mild. It in Madison, you know, city council meetings would go on till 6 in the morning, and people were violently against the bikes. They put a couple of bike trails in. They were so popular that a year later they had people at the council meetings till 6 in the morning begging for bike trails, okay, because they people really liked them. So the idea is to start slow, make sure there are things that the community really likes. We're not going to do it where nobody wants it. And if it works, then we do a little more. If it doesn't work, then we undo it or redo it a different way. So I'd like to see it brought to council. I'd like to see council have a chance to vote on it. And then if the time comes to remand it back for changes, that's fine. I have a hard time voting something down that we really don't have here to vote on. That's what concerns me.
Mr. Sharp?
Whereas I am supportive of the plan for the most part, I do and would like to know if there is any financial liability. And if there is financial liability, I'd like to know what it is. Otherwise, the concept of having a walkability and bicycle, I think the idea is great, but all I need to know is, do we have financial liability? If we do have it, what is it?
Madam Mayor, through the Council Member Sharp, we will provide a financial analysis to Council with respect to the plan.
Mr. Price?
Call for the question.
The question's been called. Carr, second.
Could she please read the motion?
Ms. Carr moved that we send the draft bicycle and pedestrian plan along with comments from the just held public hearing and the comments from this council back to the Plan Commission to be read, analyzed with regard to compliance with our charter and University City municipal policies, and considered for incorporation into the new comprehensive city plan in the process of being developed.
Thank you. The question's been called. Can I have a refresher course? Do we pull everyone on calling the question? Okay, Ms. Pum, would you please pull the council?
Mr. Price? Ms. Carr? Mr. Kraft? Mr. Crow? Mr. Glickert? Mr. Sharp? Mayor Welsh?
Nay. Okay, the question's been called. There has been a motion and a second. Without any further discussion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. I thought we voted to call the question. Excuse me, Emma, did I do something wrong? Oh, so the question has not been called, but is there any further discussion? No. So hearing none, all those in favor of the motion as stated, please signify by saying aye. All those opposed? Nay. Okay, the ayes have it. Okay, we now move on to unfinished business. Ms. Pum, may we have the second reading of Bill number 9178.
An ordinance amending Title IX, Public Peace, Morals, and Welfare, Chapter 9.08, Offenses Against Public Peace and Decency, the Municipal Code of University City by enacting a new section relative to protests at funerals.
May we have the third reading, please?
An ordinance amending Title IX, Public Peace, Morals, and Welfare, Chapter 9.08, Offenses Against Public Peace and Decency of the Municipal Code of University City by enacting a new section relative to protests at funerals.
What's the pleasure of the council? Mr. Sharp moves. Is there a second? Mr. Price seconds. Any discussion?
Yes.
Mr. Kraft?
Yeah, I want to state that I'm going to vote for this ordinance. However, I think it is really important to explain why this ordinance is even here. This ordinance is a response to the activities of the Westboro Baptist Church. Members of the church frequently protested funerals of soldiers with signs featuring messages like, "Thank God for dead soldiers," and "Thank God for 9/11. Claiming that the deaths are God's punishment for American immorality and tolerance of homosexuality. This law will not prohibit the protests of the Westboro Baptist Church or any other group. It simply requires that the protest must be 300 feet away from a funeral or a burial. Laws similar to our proposed ordinance have been upheld in numerous federal courts. It is my understanding that the Westboro Church plans to abide by the 300-foot restrictions. In an AP story from October 2012, Steve Drain, a member and spokesman for Westboro Baptist, said the church would continue to protest at military funerals in spite of the laws. Quote, "It won't have any impact. We are not interested in breaking any laws. We're interested in preaching the word of God to a doomed nation," unquote. I am saddened that bigotry and hate can hide behind the veil of religion. And I am saddened that I have to vote for this ordinance.
Any further discussion? I will just say that my instinct is not to proactively vote to limit the rights of free speech, but I have checked with Mr. Walker, who says that our city attorney has stated what Mr. Kraft just stated, that this 300-foot exclusion has been upheld by the court, so I will be supporting this tonight. Any other discussion? Mr. Sharp.
Yes, I was the one who asked Mr. Walker to put this on the agenda. I did it some time ago, and something else happened, and it wasn't brought forth, but it is now brought forth at this time, and I'm very supportive of this issue.
Thank you, sir. If there's no other discussion, we've had a motion and a second. Ms. Palm, would you please call the roll?
Mr. Price. Ms. Carr.
Aye.
Mr. Kraft. Mr. Crow.
Aye.
Mr. Glickard.
Aye.
Mr. Sharp. Mayor Welsh.
Aye. Thank you very much. We now move to Bill number 9179. Ms. Palm, may we have the second reading?
An ordinance authorizing the city manager to enter into a user agreement with the St. Louis County Emergency Communication Commission, ECC, for subscriber radios, interoperable radio system.
May we have the third reading, please?
An ordinance authorizing the city manager to enter into a user agreement with the St. Louis County Emergency Communication Commission, ECC, for subscriber radios, interoperable radio system.
What's the pleasure of the council? Mr. Glickert moves. Is there a second? Ms. Carr, Mr. Glickert.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. In rereading the bill, if you would please go to section M22. I need a clarification, I believe, from the city manager or the city clerk. The second paragraph, whereas ECC intent, and this pertains to the University City Police Department. And further in the body of the paragraph, it brings up Maryland Heights Police Department.
Madam Mayor, that should be the city of University City.
University City Police Department. Okay. We have nothing to do with Maryland Heights. Okay.
Correct. This was the model ordinance that they sent out to everybody.
That was my next question.
We just didn't catch it. All right. That's all.
Ms. Carr?
Does that mean that we need to wait to have this written, or can we strike that and amend it?
No, you can just strike it. It's okay. University City.
Okay. Then should someone make a motion to amend it? I move that we amend it to read City of University City.
Ms. Carr moves. Mr. Sharp seconds. Mr. Glickert, thank you for catching that. Is there any further discussion on the motion to amend this bill? Hearing none, Ms. Palm, would you please call the roll?
Ms. Carr?
Aye.
Mr. Kraft? Mr. Crow?
Aye.
Mr. Glickard? Mr. Sharp? Mr. Price? Mayor Walsh?
Aye. Now, is there any further discussion on the amended ordinance? Hearing none, Ms. Palm, would you please call the roll?
Mr. Kraft? Mr. Crow?
Aye.
Mr. Glickard? Mr. Sharp? Mr. Price? Ms. Carr?
Aye.
Mayor Welsh?
Aye, thank you very much. We now move on to new business resolution 2013-4, a resolution approving submittal of an application to Land and Water Conservation Fund grant for Miller Park. Is there a motion to approve? Mr. Price moves. Is there a second? Mr. Glickert seconds. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye. All those opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you. We now move to citizen participation. We have one request to speak from Ms. Elsie Glickert.
Kelsey Glickert, 6712 Etzel. Thank you, Madam Mayor, members of the council. I have several unrelated things that I'm concerned about. Number one, Mr. Porter made a statement earlier this evening that caught my attention, that we've abdicated part of our linear park, which we certainly could not do legally. Has that happened? Well, once before, a city manager sold a park illegally.
That wasn't this city manager.
Pardon me?
I said that wasn't this city manager.
Well, I think it's important that everybody in this council chamber and the staff understands that anything to do with our parks has to be voted on by the citizens. Thank you. The second thing is I'm very unhappy about that window up there, that round window, which you cannot see now because it's dark. Either it's very dirty or it's defective. And it's cloudy. The other windows are not like that. And I've seen it every month, and I keep thinking, I'm going to say something about that window. The other thing is, we've been on daylight saving time for a month now, and that clock is wrong. It's not as late as you think. The real reason that I came this evening was, I know that, that the mayor and the city manager have meetings with the superintendent and the president of the Board of Education, and I did bring this up to the school board. Many years ago, we used to have a very important program with the high school, and it was high school day at City Hall. And somehow or another, it got lost in the late 80s. But that program went on annually in the 60s and 70s and the early 80s. And the youngsters would hold an election at the high school, and they would be elected to the council as a mayor. They would become the city manager, the police chief, the fire chief, and so forth. And they would shadow these people all day and then come to the city council meeting. And it was a very informative program for the students. I would like to see that reinitiated. It's too late for this year, but it should be worked on. And it was always held for the senior class and in the spring semester. I hope you will consider that. Thank you.
Ms. Beverly Williams.
Well, I guess I'm so new in this and that I didn't even get an answer, or I'm not hearing something. It was the issue concerning the youth and the seniors in the area. I mean, I think it's very important because I wanted to say that I live in these areas. I hear the concern about the sidewalks and the bikes and everything, and I'm not saying that's not important. But where I live, our sidewalk isn't fixed. You know, I fell, senior citizen falls. And for the youth, they're dying, getting killed. I know them personally. And this is the reason I'm asking, you know, this is an issue of concern for me and the citizen in my neighborhood. I'm not hearing anything about it. Does it seem important? Am I so new in this that I'm just not hearing anything that's concerning the youth and the seniors in our area? Can you be more explicit on that for me, please?
Thank you very much. I will clarify, Ms. Williams, that at Mr. Price's suggestion, that the issue is going back to the city manager to clarify some points. So, okay. No more requests to speak? Do we have any council comments? Mr. Sharp.
Yes. First of all, UCity in Bloom is still doing, to me, an outstanding job, and I'd like to commend them for that which they do. Also, I'd like to say that the City of Lights Christian Church up near Greensfelders Park has a food pantry, and at the food pantry they give so many baskets, food bags out to needy families. So if there are families who are in need, they can go up to the church on Saturdays and they give out food, free food and clothing and whatever. And I think that everybody who in need, or if you know somebody, that you can send them to the City of Light Church up near Greensvelders Park.
Mr. Glickert?
To the city manager, if you would pass along to the chief of police and the police department, a very fine job was done on Saturday night in the Loop. We had a flash mob scenario, and I thought they were very, very professional, and things worked out. I had asked the city manager on Friday if we were ready for this kind of scenario, since it had just happened a week prior in Chicago on Michigan Avenue, and he said yes. So again, it looks like we were proactive and not reactive, and everything went well. Thank you.
Ms. Carr?
Thank you. I think that Mrs. Glickert has asked a very important question, so I would like the city manager to find out if we have ceded the authority to that section of the Linear Park, to TrailNet or Great Rivers Greenway. Any park lands that are to be sold or traded or lent must come to a vote of the people. That is also in the charter. And so if we can find that out, and we... if we have, we'll have to figure out a way to handle that, take it to a vote or whatever. I think that for me, the theme of this meeting has been that that we have not, at some times, acted as our charter has mandated, meaning that it is the council, a body of seven, that makes the decisions. And it keeps coming up again and again, and I know that sometimes I sound overly harsh, but that was the reason that I ran, and that was the reason that I was elected, to bring compliance with the charter. So I'm hoping that that when we have issues of policy, and there are many, that they will be brought to the council for us to decide. And whatever the council decides then will be implemented by the administration, Mr. Walker and his very fine team of staff. So I saw you smiling, and you know I feel that way about you. So I think that moving forward, we're going to concentrate on that, or at least I am. And so if there are any issues about how credit cards are issued, et cetera, that's a policy, we'll be bringing them here to the council for votes. And while some of you think it's childish or silly, it still requires action. Policy requires action of the council. In general, I'd like to say that if you're looking for perennials in the spring, UCity in Bloom is having their sale, I believe, on the 28th. I'm getting ready to shop. I hope you are, too. And to all the people who come here petitioning the council, we do listen. Even if we don't respond, we do hear you.
Mr. Price?
Yeah, just want to thank the residents who supported the proposition. And I was on the right side of justice because it passed 70% to 30%. So I want to thank the parents for having, and the residents for having the faith in the school district to keep moving in the right direction, because that wasn't a small passing. That was a large mandate to continue the course that they're on. Thank you.
Mr. Sharp?
I would like to thank Ms. Carter and her committee for the fine work that they did. Ms. Carter, you are to be commended for that which you and your committee did. Thank you for your report, and I think that you and your committee did an outstanding job with the presentation.
I would like to say that I've been working with some staff at the library to organize some events related to the National Days of Remembrance. The U.S. Congress set up the Days of Remembrance, which this year are April 7th to 14th, to remember the Holocaust and other more recent genocides in the hope that that does not happen again. Former U City resident Sarah Moses, who was one of the youngest people liberated from the death camps in Europe after World War II, will speak at the library on Wednesday, April 10th at 7 p.m. This event is free, and Mrs. Moses will speak and take questions. I have also arranged for Mrs. Moses to present to classes at University City High School, Brittany Woods Middle School, and Christ the King Elementary School on Friday, April 12th. Torah Prep and Our Lady of Lourdes were not able to take part in this year, but hope to work with us next year on this event. Next Tuesday, Fairview City volunteers will be meeting to work on the fair, which is in September, and on April 20th from 9 to 10:30 a.m., there will be a free health screening at the library. This is sponsored monthly by the Health Protection and Education Service. So if there is no other stuff to do, we will adjourn this meeting at 8:25. Thank you all.